The Ripple Effect. The Ripple Effect. The Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth, a nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm Jeff Catano.
I'm JJ Chinowski.
And tonight we have a very special guest, someone who we ran into, it was only a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago,
and showed up in full uniform, packing the heat. And before I introduce her to you, the funny thing is the trainers that were here, one of them says, "You guys really bring security to your teen graduations?"
Well, we have.
And I said, "Well, we got security here today."
Yeah,
you know. But Sierra Thornock, thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I'm honored to be here.
Fun. It is going to be fun. This is really one of those podcasts I've been really, really excited about.
Yeah.
So you know what it's about. It's about you. So where do you want to start?
I don't know. Go for it.
Let's see
where it goes.
You know, you're one of those great big things come in little packages.
5 feet tall, yeah.
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 Power. But, you know, let's start back in your youth and kind of walk through your life a little bit so people can get a sense of, you know, where you grew up and your family. And because you've got a really cool family. I love your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. My name is Sierra Thornock. I am currently a deputy for the Weber County Sheriff's Office. I was born and raised in Utah. I graduated from Fremont High in 2018. I've been here my whole life. Starting from the ground up, the earliest memory I remember is probably eating animal crackers in daycare.
Nice.
Downtown Ogden. So, no, it was fun. My childhood is probably different from a lot. There's nothing I can complain about. My parents gave me everything in the world. Even though they're going through financial hardships now, realizing that as an adult, what they were going through, my goodness, I can't complain about anything. They were amazing. I traveled all over the United States for soccer from probably 8 years old till I graduated high school. And what else is there?
Your mom and dad are hard workers.
Yeah, they both worked full time. Yep. I didn't have a thing called a stay at home mom or a stay at home dad. My dad worked 7 to 5 Monday through Friday, sometimes on the weekends. When I saw him, he was beat up. He worked construction, sunburnt, tired, sweaty, sweat stains in his shirt. For him to come to some of my soccer games, he would show up full construction gear, dirty boots, mud on his pants, sunglass tan line on the side of his forehead.
Wow. That's my dad.
Yeah. That is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't like other dads that showed up in polos and golf pants and probably was out on their boat all day. Like my dad worked for what we had. And my mom too, they full-time jobs. It was, well, who's going to take Sierra to soccer practice today? It was always the question. Was it going to be an older sibling? Was it going to be them? And yeah, some days were hard, some days weren't. And I definitely had a blessed childhood.
So what do you remember about your childhood? Like friends and family? What did you spend your time doing? What were your hobbies? If you were to describe you at that young age, how would you describe yourself?
Sports that consisted my entire life. It was practice Tuesday, Thursday, games Friday, Saturday. Even into high school, it was practice every day of the week, games on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Friends wise, I never had that tight knit circle that everybody talked about. Mm. I was friends with that group. I was friends with the other group, but I never had that tight knit circle. In some ways, I mean, some people might get mad at this, but there are a lot of fake people in the world, and I grew up a lot differently than they did. I'm not religious. I never have been. So for them to talk about what they do on the weekends was a lot different than me. I mean, I hung out with my parents and their family friends that I've known since I was a kid. I mean, my mom always tells me, but back before they had rules in labor and delivery, I might have set the record because they had 30 people in my mom's waiting room waiting for me to be born. And I'm like, all right, that's cool.
So wow. You're not an only child.
No, I have two older siblings. My oldest sibling, her name is Shyla. I believe she's 31. Sorry if I'm wrong.
How much older is she than you?
6 years.
Yeah.
And then my older brother is Caden. He is 29. So we're three and three years apart. So there's 6 years in between me and my sister, 3 years in between me and my brother. So
you're the baby.
I am the baby.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll admit that. It's
so
nice.
Who are you closer to right now, your mom or your dad? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just curious. You love them both. But.
I do love them both. My mom tells me this year, I didn't tell her Happy Mother's Day, but I thought I did. I might not have. And then there's Father's Day. They were in Washington and I called my dad at like 7 o'clock in the morning to tell him how much I love him. So I'm sorry, mom, if you ever listen to this, I am a daddy's girl, yeah. but I love them both.
Awesome.
So when you were the baby, right? What was your late relationship when you remember yourself like in maybe grade school? Because when you're in grade school, you've got one that's in junior high and you've got one in high school. Mm-hmm. What was that relationship like?
It was begging for their friendship. My two older siblings, definitely when I was younger, they were a lot closer. I always wanted to go out with them. If they were going out with their friends, like when they could start driving, I was 10 to 12 between the both of them. And they never wanted to take me anywhere. It's like, mom, do we have to take little sis?
Yeah.
But no, I begged for their friendship. Now that's changed. But back then, yeah, those two were inseparable. They had the same friend group and I'm just the little one following behind them pleading for friendship.
So when you were younger, did you recognize the difference in your life? Meaning when you talked about just a moment ago, like, what your family did on the weekend and what a lot of your, you know, people you went to school with or friends did different.
Mm-hmm.
Did you recognize that early?
Yeah, I would like to say I was born in the wrong generation. I have a very old soul. So I feel like
had you hanging out with all.
Yeah, yes. I know, right?
Yeah.
That was when they had gotten far enough along that's what you did. If you
almost like
time
an
with
only
your friends,
child,
your kids are coming with you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely, my sister and brother were older. They would go do things with their friends. And when I wasn't invited, it was like, mom, what are you doing tonight? Like, are we going to your friend's house? Like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did recognize it. Especially as my siblings got older, it was, well, I'm hanging out with mom and dad this weekend, so I guess I'll see you later.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I recognized it. It was hard. Probably one of the hardest moments in my life. I was summer going into my sophomore year of high school is when I came out of the closet. So that was fun.
Yeah. We're definitely going to talk about that.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
When you, and the reason why I want to continue to talk about the differences is because did you feel like you were left out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like everybody else had their thing and did you feel like they weren't allowed to spend time with you?
Not necessarily. A lot of my friends knew each other because they went to church together. I was definitely the oddball in probably my friend circle. I was the only one that wasn't LDS. They would talk about going to church on Sundays. Young women's was a big thing. It still is today. And they all went and did that. And I felt like that's what really separated me from some of my friends was the religion aspect.
Did you ever get it? You got invited, I'm sure.
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Never.
Yeah. Wow. So how did it make you feel?
It started
to drive a wedge.
Yeah. It started taking a toll on me as I got older, especially when I turned 16 and could start driving. I still found myself hanging out with my parents because I didn't have that close-knit circle. I mean, I hung out with them a couple times, but it was almost as if they were doing it out of pity in a way. That's probably not the best word to use, but it was almost as if we kind of have to, like,
there's nowhere else for Sierra to go. So she's going with us.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, definitely have to ask your mom and dad about that. Cause I can tell you from my perspective, and I know that the other guys here in this room, it's like, no, love spending time with our kids and going places with our kids. That's always been a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see why you would think about it like that. But I it may not have always been something they were excited to be with you. But however, I'm sure it was something they were also grateful for looking back. But how would you describe your personality in you know, those before even being a teenager? Because it's like preteen. You kind of have a personality. Once you hit those teenage years, that's when the personality sometimes shifts a little bit.
I mean, if you ask my siblings, preteen, I was just the annoying little sister. I talk a lot. I'm never one to not talk. I have a hard time holding still. So I was probably just the annoying little sister that wouldn't leave them alone.
Yeah.
So
you've always been the forceful.
Oh yeah.
One.
Yeah.
If we're, because when you sat down and the part about you being with the sheriff's department, I didn't know, but it just clicked with me when you said it because you have this aura about you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's, I love it. But personality wise, like Brett was saying it, I was vocal.
Yeah.
Just put it that way.
Do you think it helped though that you were around adults a lot?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I learned a lot, especially like going into early teens. I was like starting to think about my future. Like, well, my mom's best friend makes this much money. How do I do what you do when I grow up?
Strong awareness. You're a good listener.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I definitely paid attention to who made good money in my mom's friend group.
So I got to ask, so looking back at that moment, what did you want back then when you were maybe before junior high? You're like, hey, I'm going to be a doctor. Or I'm going to be a lawyer. Or what was there something that you've zeroed in on?
I've always been attracted to somebody in uniform, and not like a physical attraction, but like that mental capacity.
Do you think it's from sports?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I wanted to be a pro soccer player.
Absolutely. That's not what we got out there.
That's one that in a million. So.
Wow.
No, but so did you get into much trouble? Were you kind of didn't have really a lot of time to get into trouble?
Trouble wise, it depends. What? Not with the law. I never found the cops.
Yeah.
But trouble wise, I mean,
well, cops are a little bit more resourceful now.
Yes, they are.
That's back before they could track us on social media.
Yeah. Yes.
Track us on everything.
Trouble wise, I was a tattletale growing up because if my sister or brother didn't want to take me somewhere, I'm like, well, I'm going to tell mom what you did last Saturday.
And you had a couple of role models to figure out sometimes what not to do.
Or how
not to get caught.
Yes.
Absolutely. How do you put the screen back in the window?
Yeah.
Caden, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
So, but no, I didn't really get in a lot of trouble. I remember one summer, and it's the story my mom tells everybody, is all three of us kids were left alone for the first summer without a babysitter. And
that's scary for a parent.
Yeah. Wow. It was the first summer to my knowledge. I don't remember how old I was. I was younger than 10. That is for sure. And my brother and sister were picking on each other. And I said, guys, stop. Like, I'm going to call mom. So I called mom and mom's like, hey, leave me alone. I'm at work. Figure it out. So my brother back then, we like to say he had anger issues, and it was to the point where we picked on him so much, he would run after us. So we'd go lock ourselves behind a bathroom door. And then my sister called my mom and she's like, if one of you kids call me one more time, I'm going to come home and I'm whooping all three of you with a belt.
Yeah.
And I said, whoever calls mom next, like I'm leaving the house before this happens. So a couple minutes go by, about 10, maybe 15 minutes. I want to say it was my brother who called my mom the third time. I think each one of us took a turn.
Whoa.
And my mom said, I'll be home in 10 minutes. And I was like, well, you work about 15 away. How are you going to be home in 10 minutes? Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did. She came home.
That was
it. She laid all three of us out. And I know statute of limitations on child abuse is probably seceded, but yeah, she whooped all three of us. That's probably the most.
What did you learn?
Don't call mom.
Don't call mom. Yep.
As she told you, she even warned you.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Wow. And it's absolutely easier to get along at the end of the day.
Yeah. We just didn't call mom. She came home and we had bruises.
Fight all we want, but we're not calling mom.
No questions were asked.
Oh,
did it change after that though? You still had the fights.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we had an odd number of siblings.
Yeah.
So we got into it. It was one picking somebody's on the other and it was tag teaming for sure.
Wow.
So, but yeah, we had a blast.
That's fun.
What was your favorite part of your childhood then? That area.
That area of my childhood was honestly just having fun. My parents had been married since before I was born, so I never had the divorcee problem, never had a split custody, never mom's house, dad's house. And I think that's what really made our family one of the best. We had this big pillow, probably bigger than the table we're sitting at. And we always asked mom, can we jump off the roof of the house onto the pillow? She told us no.
You did it anyway.
We did several times. We would pull the tramp from about, I think it was on the north side of the house to the backyard, and we would climb up on the deck. Caden would give us a boost onto the
roof
and we jumped off several times.
Wow.
So yeah. She now knows this.
Oh, the things you get to hear about later on in life and you just wonder how everybody made it through okay.
So but they do. You mentioned, just to go back a little bit, you said there was some financial stress. How mm-hmm. did that impact you or you didn't know about it?
What? I didn't realize it until I got older. Especially you go to the checkout in any store and it's like, do you want to apply for the credit card and get 10% off?
Yeah.
I now remember through memories, going shopping with my mom, and she did that a couple times.
Yeah.
So now knowing, I mean, they both worked full time. None of them, it was never a corporate position. So they were making probably back then, probably not even $15 an hour in 2010. And I now know kind of behind closed doors, now realizing that when my mom would be doing bills, and she still does it the old fashioned way. She still has a checklist with how much she's wrote. I'm like, mom, they have online banking.
Yeah.
And she still does it the same, but I remember just vaguely some memories of them going through finances and like not really knowing. I was like, oh, mom kind of seems irritated, but I don't know why. And I just know we weren't the wealthiest family. We weren't poor, but we couldn't just go out and get what we wanted either.
Yeah.
And now, kind of the same thing, as I realize what they went through to provide as much as they did. They could have easily told us no. They did on several things, but I never got told no when it came to traveling for sports.
Yeah.
We would do fundraisers. My mom has worked for the same company for almost 30 years. And I know a lot of that and a lot of supporting me came from the company she works for. Especially when it came into high school.
Let's call them out. Who is it?
Tramcor Corporation.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
I'm saying, we'll throw it out there.
Good family business.
Yeah, good family business.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's our neighbors here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about traveling for soccer, because there are so many people out there right now, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball or softball, any of those high level organized, you know, sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge ask.
Oh, it's expensive.
Huge.
It's wow.
Yeah. Like over $1,000 a month.
I've heard. Well, there's the part of being in it. Then there's the part of traveling for it.
Yeah.
Because they're all youth. They're all underage. So these families are traveling together and they're staying in hotel rooms with, you know, 10 people in a room, and moms and dads are sleeping on the two beds and the kids are piled up on the floors. And you remember.
My mom actually didn't get to travel with me a lot. I was often sent by myself, and if it wasn't that close, we would fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know they got discounted tickets through the airlines for 15 of us, but that now shows like, I know my parents could never go. Just finances. I mean, it's a crazy world. Even now it's gotten more expensive. Some of the kids that I've dealt with, I kind of ask them and they're doing fundraisers and I'm like, how much is it for comp teams nowadays? And just the yearly or monthly fee is more than my car payment.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous. Wow.
And parents are digging in, figuring out how to make it happen.
Yep.
But I mean, it's kind of relative.
Yeah.
To the time. Yes, it's more now, right? But it's still pretty relative, but it's a lot. It's a big ask.
Yeah, it is a lot.
And it becomes a whole family event. It's like the priority becomes, you're going to do this. We're going to, you know, figure it out. But that's a big reason why they weren't able to show up.
Yeah.
Well, you look back and you said it, it's just like, wow, they did a lot for me, you know, and just to be grateful and live in that, you know, that's freaking awesome.
Where'd you learn playing soccer? There's a lot. That's a roller coaster, right?
There's a lot. Honestly, it probably digs into a little bit of leadership. I was always captain of my comp team. I was captain of
why
the, cause I took initiative. I feel like it plays into a role of how I grew up just a little bit different.
Old soul.
I wasn't afraid to
outspoken.
Speak my mind. If you're in the wrong position, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And, it just came down to two or three of us that were just kind of the same. And it was, I'm not afraid to tell you, but if I'm wrong, let me know.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to take that to heart, because if I'm going to correct you, I would want somebody to correct me if I'm wrong.
Humble.
So
I like that a lot. Yeah.
So you're on this journey doing soccer.
Yes.
You're traveling. You're the baby in the household.
Yes.
You get into junior high and now your older sister is out of high school. Your brother is in high school. Mm-hmm. And there starts to be some gaps.
Definitely.
In the family where everybody's going their different directions. You know, mom and dad are able to kind of show up probably a little bit more mm-hmm. for things when you get into junior high.
Yep.
And especially when you work your way into high school. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that time?
My sister, actually, when she was in high school, she had scoliosis so bad, they actually did scoliosis surgery on her. So she has two titanium rods in her back. She always says she would have loved to gone as far in sports as I did, but she couldn't due to the physical restraints. So that led to a little bit of hardship in, well, mom and dad are supporting you more than they support me. Mm. And, still to this day, you're the favorite, you're the baby, you'll always be the favorite. But now as I get older, I mean, yeah, I definitely got a lot more than the other two. And six I don't know if it was
a lot of time.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Like the attention that my mom gave me, it was Sierra soccer, this Sierra soccer, that. And I now know that I'm older, what that did to my older siblings, and it sucked. Yeah. And
it's important that people understand, though, that, you know, your parents were married young, mm-hmm. right? And how old were they when they got married?
1998. So my dad would have been mid 20s.
Early
20s. Yeah. 76 to 22. Something. Am I doing like that, math
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
Dad was 22.
And the reason why I know that is because we're the same age.
Yeah.
So your dad and your mom get married at a young age mm-hmm. and you start a family and there is no playbook.
No.
Like when you're playing soccer, you've got this playbook. Everybody has their positions. And when you're working full time, especially at a young age, you're covering a lot of over covering positions and figuring yeah. it out, and life goes on. But what happens is from when, you know, they had your older sister mm-hmm. and then have you, well, now you're into you're 30, right?
Yep.
Strong awareness about the difference in time frame as far as an evolution of an individual and an awareness in being a parent. Like mm-hmm. they've had a lot of practice by the time they got to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they probably worked way harder on your older sister. Way harder.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's because these don't know. They don't know yeah. what they don't know. And then they learn and develop and grow mm-hmm. and change. Yeah. And by the time they get to the youngest, you, the baby, they figure out a lot of things don't really matter that much.
Yes.
and their careers have progressed and, you know, yeah. things have changed. And so it's just important to put that in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I guarantee that they worked harder, you know, early on for sure.
Oh, yeah.
To make it happen. Yeah. So when you're captain mm-hmm. soccer, and what happens when you're playing comp soccer is it just gets busier and busier. And then you get to a point where you're in school and you don't have a lot of friends still, but you have your soccer team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you stay close with all those girls, right? You're traveling together. You have some like families away from home.
Yeah. I still have a couple to this day. I mean, as we've gotten older, we've grown distant, but I got two or three that'll never leave.
Yeah, they're it.
Yeah.
They're the ones that were
from soccer.
Two of them are from soccer. One is from early high school all the way out till now.
Awesome.
Yeah. How did they impact you? What did they do? What was the difference they made? How did they make you feel that much love and care?
One of them, her name's Allie Hammer, or Allison, if you want to make her mad a little bit.
Shout out to Allison.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, she was there. I mean, she was like me. And I'll bring religion into it every time. She wasn't very religious. So it was like, I felt more comfortable around her. I didn't have to walk on eggshells. I could be my true self. And I mean, we spent a lot of time together. Every time we went on to a soccer tournament, it was, can we have the same room? Like, Can we have the Fab Four in one room, please? And they would always separate us. They would never let us. You gotta get to know your other teammates. Yeah. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, well, you gotta get to know your other teammates. And I'm like, but do I? But no, that she was awesome. I mean, she still to this day, I mean, we could pick up right where we left off. It's never that, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. How you been? It's,
hey, great to see you.
Yeah. So yeah, she can poke her head in any date and time, and it's like we're 15 again. So
it's like hanging out with JJ.
That's right.
Yeah. So you, when you look at that time frame, and had anything changed by the time you got into junior high?
Not a lot in a junior high. We made our first move. I stayed in the same house from infant to, I want to say 9. And then we were in the next house, 9 to 18.
Okay.
So just two child in a home.
So pretty steady there.
Yep.
That period of time.
Yep.
All right.
Nothing really changed.
Friends, not really changed much. Pretty much a small group of people.
Yeah. I don't really remember a lot of my youth. I had a really good concussion in 2016. So I don't have a lot of my childhood memories anymore.
Were you scared of anything back then, or, you know, things that you're like, this scares the crap out of me?
Nope, not one bit.
Because you're very outspoken. You're a captain. But was there some things that self-confidence anywhere in your life that you were struggling with?
Not in early junior high, no. I was still just the friend groups. I mean, I'll always revert back to that. There was people I wanted to be best friends with. Like, I want to be a part of that friend circle. What do I have to do to get in? And there were some things where I'm like, I remember telling my mom one day, hey, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. And she's like, what in the world did you just say?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I feel like I could fit in better.
Mm.
And I feel like that was my hardship in junior high, was fitting in.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
I did. I've been to the LDS church once.
Got it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Never again.
So let's fast forward to high school.
High school.
Because this is where things really started to grow some legs.
This is where
things started to get real.
Yeah. Just got out of junior high and I'm like, I can't wait to go to high school. That's where we joined junior highs. And I'm like, hopefully I can make new friends, kind of explore. And yeah, it all started summer. I got invited to one summer party with some of the Rocky kids, because I went to Walk West. So I'm like, we're going to hit the summer off going hard. We're just going to join friends now. Why wait for the first day of school?
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to say it was July 2015. And that's where it all started.
Yeah.
So
unpack it.
Yes. I want to hear.
No. Yeah. July 2015. I went to, a party. I won't say names or anything just for identity reasons, but we ended up having a sleepover, just us girls. And I was like, all right. And it was probably midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I went upstairs to get some water. And, one of my friends came up with me, and I'll say friends, cause we're still friends. And, we're just sitting there, like nothing else involved. I think we're playing music or something. And I had jumped up just to sit on the counter. I want to say I was eating grapes or something. And my friend kind of came and stood in front of me. And I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. You're a little close. And I was like, I have a bubble.
Yeah, you're in my bubble. Get out of the bubble.
And we just kind of looked at each other, and TMI, but we ended up kissing for like 4 hours straight.
Wow.
And after that, I was like, okay, that was weird. And I was never one in junior high to want a boyfriend. I mean, I had one, but it was never, and I can't say it didn't feel right, because I didn't know what was going through my mind at 14, 15 years old. You're still trying to find who you are, where you want to be. I mean, you're still in school. Like, you shouldn't be thinking about.
This is the time you're discovering a little bit about who you are.
Yeah. This is where it all began. So 15, I'll fast forward a little bit. I still had a boyfriend, and I'll put air quotes around that. But it was never like a love relationship. It was like, you are my best friend.
You were in a place of discovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we're friends. And it never went beyond that. It was never, we would go out and it was like, I don't want to hold your hand. Like, we're buds. But in their mind, it's like, no, you're my girlfriend. And I was just like, there's something weird. And I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to. And I was like, who do I start talking to.
Was there anyone to talk to?
Yeah, there was two that knew. They say they knew before I did.
Okay. But,
I have two. One was Allie Hammer, and the other one I met my sophomore year of high school, Ashlyn Crosley. And I remember telling them, I was like, dude, I think I like girls. And they laughed and they're like, dude, I know. And I'm like, what do you mean you know?
They're like, we already knew.
And they're like, you go through boyfriends, and they put air quotes around it. So I've just carried it on my whole life. They're like, dude, you've had boyfriends, but like, you're just friends. You know that, right? And I was like, but no, I don't. Like, I need help here. Will you help me? And they're like, what do you want us to help you with? Figure it out.
Yeah.
And they were always so tough. And they're like, I'm here if you need me, but figure it out. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll figure it out. And then, so same time, sophomore year, I was actually still dating a guy. His name's Dallin Skidmore. And to this day, he is probably my closest guy friend. He's the best man in my wedding.
Awesome.
Aww. So yeah.
Shout out.
That family is amazing.
The Skidmores.
The Skidmores. Yep. Josh and Kim. It's their oldest boy.
I love them.
Yeah. It's their oldest boy. So he was my last boyfriend.
Okay.
And I remember us looking at each other one day and he's like, can we be friends? I said, absolutely. Aww. Yes, we can. And that's been it ever since. And I started dating a girl in the summer going into my sophomore year. So I was bouncing back and forth between, do I really want to date a girl or do I just want to be best friends with a guy? And it was really hard because there was nobody else in my small friend group that I could relate to. And I'm like, you guys have boyfriends, you keep hanging out with boys, saying all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't feel that.
Yeah.
And I remember them being like, scrolling through Instagram and being like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. And I'm like, no, he's not.
No, he's not. He's a dude.
But let me show you this girl I found.
Yeah.
So no, I started dating this girl. We ended up dating sophomore, junior, and senior year. She was amazing. Her family was totally understanding. I would be like, hey mom, I'm going to go over to McKenna's house or Ashlyn's house. I'm going to go to Allie's house. I didn't go to their houses. That's back before they had Find My iPhone.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to find out.
Yeah. About. My mom didn't know how to track me then. And she caught me a couple of times. I think she questioned, but I never wanted to tell my family. It took
Why?
Me. I didn't know how they would think. Mm. None of our family friends were gay. None of my sister's friends were. Like, I was felt like a loner. I'm like, how in the heck am I going to go through this by myself? And I didn't tell her. And I think that kind of drove a little bit of a wedge because I felt like I was walking on eggshells. Mm. And I started dating this girl. It was now probably halfway through sophomore year. And she's like, well, when can I come to your house? And I'm like, no, I will drive to your house. Cause I had a driver's license. She didn't, she was a little bit younger than me, grade school wise. And I said, I will come to you. And I think she got tired of it. And I remember exactly where me and my mom were, what car she was driving that time, what parking lot we were in. And we're on Riverdale Road when there was an RC Willie there and we were sitting there and I've never been one to talk about how I feel. It's very controversial to who I am because I never hold back, but I hate talking about feelings.
Yeah.
So my mom was sitting there and she's like, you never tell me anything. What's wrong with you? I don't know what's going on. And I remember throwing my phone on the floor. And, I was like, mom, I've been dating a girl for almost a year. And my mom started bawling and I was like, are you mad? Are you happy? I don't know how to feel about this. We drove home in silence and I was like, oh, this can't be good. And, it's going to suck, but it's a part of my history and it's a part of who I am. Like, I'm not trying to, I will never talk bad about my parents. And we're fine to this day. I will say that we are besties, but that year was probably one of the hardest years of my life. My mom cried herself to sleep and it wasn't because she was disappointed in me or anything. She didn't know how to support me. And that is the hardest thing I think my mom's ever had to go through. She's like, kid, I love you to death, but like, how do I support you in this? And back then I was a stubborn little S word.
We'll
just say that.
Back then.
I still am. Yeah. But back then, no, I didn't talk about my feelings. I didn't talk about what I was going through.
So I got to stop you right there because I know a lot of people are listening to this right now. What advice would you give to your former self, knowing what you know going forward, but back in that moment, and to your mom, what advice would you give to a mother and a daughter in that exact situation? What would you have done differently? That's my question.
Yeah, because I really, like, even unpacking further than that, JJ, what were some of the stories you were telling yourself during that time?
Yes.
Right? Some of that self-talk that was going on.
Yes.
In my head, I think a lot in my head. So when we were sitting there and she started saying, you don't tell me anything. You don't express how you feel. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know who you're dating. And in my head, I was like, just leave it alone. Just don't ask questions. Just leave it alone. Like, I don't want to talk about it. And I wish I would have taken it a little bit differently. I feel like I agitated the situation. I remember throwing my phone and my mom was probably like, she's mad. She doesn't want to tell me. And I felt like we both thought different things, but we didn't communicate that very well. Especially now that I'm older, she probably thought my kid doesn't want to talk to me. How did I lose this relationship?
Because what were you telling yourself why you didn't talk to him in the first place?
I was scared.
Yes.
So it's like we were both, there's the middle path and then there's us on the outsides and we didn't know how to get on the same road. I thought she thought one way. She thought I thought one way.
100%.
That was hard. She, I don't even know where to start.
You got to think about it. It's you're her little girl.
Yeah.
And we know that for sure.
And
sorry, Shy.
Yeah. And that's her job.
Yeah.
Like that's her role. That's her responsibility. That's her job. That's actually at that time, really still a big part of her purpose.
Yeah, I think. And she talks about now her immediate thought was, I'm never going to have kids. I'm going to dress differently. I'm going to look differently. I'm going to change me. And I think she finally noticed I wasn't changing. Nothing about me changed. The way I dressed didn't change. The way I talk, the way I think, who I hung out with didn't change. And we finally came full circle. I don't remember how long it took us to get full circle. But I remember telling my brother and sister too. And my sister's like, dude, I knew. My brother, dude, I knew. And I'm like, how? Like, can you talk next time? Can you fill me in?
I think it's easy to say that and think that, but to know it is a whole different thing. And
and
some more things that I just want to keep digging in because it really is the stories we tell ourselves. You remember from teen class?
Yep.
It's the stories we tell ourselves, what we think we create, you know, what we think about, we bring about.
Yeah.
And we talk about everything has a meaning and we give it the meaning. And what were some of the meanings you were giving to your feelings, your thoughts, you know, the reason why you didn't share with anyone outside of that very close circle? You said fear, you know, you were afraid.
Fear of disappointment.
Yeah.
I would rather my mom say I'm mad at you than I'm disappointed in you. And I think that means a lot more to me. And I didn't ever want to disappoint them. They were the most amazing humans ever. And I was like, I never want to disappoint my family. And I felt like that's what it was going to be instead of me just thinking, hell no, they love me. They're going to support me.
Yeah.
Never crossed my mind.
So you were 15 when you went to class.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find yourself in a classroom? You got to go with your dad.
Yeah, it was hard because dad doesn't know this, but that's when everything happened.
Yeah.
I actually went to teen leadership a month after I kissed a girl for the first time. And, I remember I was roomed with a girl that actually was friends with my brother at the time. Her name was Tori, Victoria. And we just talked about, my brother, my family, school, and she made it a lot easier to be more comfortable. There was a lot of kids and I think I even remember telling her, I'm like, dude, I think about dating a girl. And some of the stuff that we went through in leadership, it kind of broke me down more than I thought.
You hadn't talked to your mom at this point.
This is nobody at
this
point.
This is she still doesn't know.
Yeah.
This is like, you know,
I remember one night we were sitting in a circle and it's when we got to read, I think our first letter and mine was from my mom. I'm like, good Lord. So I start reading it and I look around, I'm like, why am I the only one crying? Like nobody else is crying.
Yet.
Everybody's, yeah, yet. Yet, 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 yet is the yet. Group.
Everybody's doing their best to hold it together.
I think this was night one, and I felt a lot more comfortable knowing my dad was there. And I remember reading that first one, and I'm like, this is going to be so hard. Why? I'm already crying. Nobody else is. And I feel like we're all going to be crying at one point. Why am I doing it first?
Oh, so you're talking about your cards.
Yeah.
Your Power Pack cards. Yeah.
So I read that one, and that one melted me. She's like, I'm so proud of you for this. You're going to go so far in life. Like, I remember a lot of the letter. I still have it. And me in the back of my head is, well, if I tell you what I'm thinking right now, you're going to be disappointed. And so I hid it. I hid it for a long time. And by long time, probably about a year. I hid my emotions, who I was talking to, where I was going, who I was going with. And I wish I wouldn't have, because I caused a lot of that. I caused a lot of my own depression, and I know that now. And it was hard. I hid who I was for a long time. And if I could give any advice to myself back then, is the moment you think you're starting to go through something hard, you have to have somebody in your circle.
Yeah.
Don't go through it alone.
Amen.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you think back to that class, and oh man. Yeah. That was our very first class that we did at Daniel Summit.
Yeah.
First run of the adult team combo. Crazy. 10 years ago. And I remember the fact that you did get to do it with your dad,
mm-hmm.
and Michelle Fonseca was your trainer.
Yeah. Scary woman.
She's scary. So lovely.
She was a ball of fire.
Oh yeah. She is. For sure. Oh, she hasn't changed at all.
All that's still there. 100%. Yeah. She's living her best life ever.
She still have red hair.
Depends on when you see her.
Depends on how she's feeling.
Yeah. It just depends on when you see her. Yeah.
Love the red hair.
Definitely, you know, her. She's one of them that, you know, likes to go to town on there.
I was just scared of her because I couldn't pronounce her last name correctly.
Fonseca.
Yeah.
Francesca.
Yep.
Francesca. I like that.
Fonseca.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it was a really wonderful, it was really a new thing for Building Utah Youth, but it was really neat that there were so many teens that had parents in the adult class. That's what was so awesome about it. There was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as we went through the journey, it was like, on the breaks, the parents are just excited to see their kids. And, you know, there's a lot of comfort, like you said, going on.
Knowing that you were there. I'm over here crying like, Dad, don't leave me.
Yeah.
Are you sure we have to go to separate rooms? Can I come stay with you?
Yeah.
And it wasn't your dad's first class. He had already done breakthrough safety before he went to leader one. But, you know, when you think about that, what were a couple of your big takeaways from attending Teen Leadership Breakthrough?
Still to this day, I mean, I didn't really think about it. I definitely... Let's see, probably key takeaways now, 10 years later, is I really found who I was, and everyone's like, how can you find who you are in 2.5 days? I did it. Trust me. The way it is emotionally, physically, and mentally, you don't have your phone to text your best friend. You don't have the ability to just open up the door and be like, where's my dad? Like, he's in a different class. And it really forced me to psychologically think, how are you going to get through this? And how are you?
Mm.
And I remember just being with some of the other teams, and some of us were very the same. Some of us were very different. And going through teen leadership, you almost have to let your guard down, or else you're not going to make any progress. If you go in there stubborn headed and this isn't going to help, but my parents are making me do it.
It's a long class.
Let it go.
Yep.
When you walk through the door, let it go. That is my biggest advice. Take everything and do it 100%. If you think you're just going to walk in and be like, all right, I'm going to get through this because my mom told me to, you're wrong, because you're going to suffer.
It'll be the longest, most painful 48 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I just, advice-wise, just do it with an open heart. Do it with an open mind, because that's going to get you the best results.
What were your results?
I was just one more of a spitfire than I am now. Yeah. No. I just remember coming out and I was like, what are we doing? Like, I thought we were just going to graduate and go home. And then I see people lining up and I was like, oh, I forgot about this. That's why we've been studying that this whole time. And
you love America the Beautiful.
So, I put myself towards the back and I'm like, I want to watch my dad do it first. like, Dad, can you do it? Cause we're angled where we're opposites. And I couldn't, like, I could see him, but I couldn't. And then everybody's cheering and screaming and just being 100%. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Nobody's going to hear me. So what if I just mouth it? And
that worked out.
It didn't actually. I had to do it twice.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get through to the front of the line and one of my good friends is in front of me. I'm like, dude, I need help. And she's like, just watch me do it. You'll be good. Just put your back into it. I was like, what do you mean? Put my back into it. And I still remember that's exactly what she said. She's like, put your back into it. And I start thinking of song lyrics. I'm like, this is going to confuse me. I need to focus on these ones. And, we're sitting there and I see my dad and I'm like, why is he crying? I was like, and then I start getting emotional and I was like, well, we're just going to do it. So I remember stepping up and, remind me her name again,
Michelle.
Fonseca. Michelle.
Yep.
She's looking at me and her eyes are just, and she's stern. And I was like, she's going to hurt me. You can
see in her eyes that she is not.
No.
Yeah.
And I just see this emotion and she's like, you can do it. And I know the way they're supposed to act and the way they're supposed to be. And she took that step down and made me feel a little bit more comfortable. And she's saying the first three words and I'm like, okay, I got this. So I started belting it and I thought I was, and I stuttered. I was like, I keep forgetting. I can't do this. And I actually had to do it twice. I was not one that got it on my first try. And I think
first time
it was not,
we don't try.
We don't
no.
try.
No,
you have a couple of times already, yeah. but not yeah. anymore.
So she made me do it again and I'm shaking my head. I made eye contact with my dad. He had already been through and he just sits there and he can feel for me. And he's like, come on. And he started giving me the first three words and I'm like, cheating, stop. And I did. I made it through and I looked at Michelle and she finally gave me the hug I'd been waiting. It felt like an eternity yeah. for. And I'm like, woman, I don't have my mom. You're going to be her for a minute. Like, yeah. just give me a hug. And it was honestly, it was life changing. I remember to this day how I felt giving my dad a hug. And it was just like, how in the world did that just happen in 48 hours? Like I felt like I could walk into a ring of fire.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's in your head.
It definitely was. And
you have it today.
I would have done better. And I wish I could go back through it again. Cause I feel like I could have done it better, but I'm like, you can only do it once. Like, you did it and you did it the way you did for a reason. But like I said, the advice I would give to a teen going through it in the next 2 weeks is go in and leave your pride at the door. They're going to break you down and they're going to make you amazing. So don't try to overcomplicate it. Don't try to just walk in.
Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah. yeah. Don't walk in and be like, I just got to do this because my mom signed me up yeah. for it. Like, yeah. Take pride in it and really focus on yourself and how you can become the person that you can be.
Yeah.
So you got out of class. You gave some amazing hugs. You had a good graduation. You got a certificate of completion. High five.
I did.
And then you go home and life is just amazing.
Wrong. life was not amazing. It was though.
It was because you get a Monday morning quarterback it and you've gave it a lot of meaning now.
Yeah, I do. I do get a Monday morning quarterback it now. But no, I kind of went home and like everybody else kind of did. I mean, I stayed in contact with a few of, my classmates for a minute and then it
died off. Yeah.
Until
who's responsible for that?
I am.
Yeah.
I let that go.
Yeah.
I wish I wouldn't have.
Every time I hear a teen say, you know, my class doesn't stay in touch. It's like, well, who's responsible for that?
Yep.
Because it takes everyone doing it. You don't know
100%.
How many people would absolutely respond. And Abby, have you talked to some of the kids at all since you went back to graduation recently?
At all?
No. So you leave class, you go home and you are 15 years old.
Yep.
And right after that, I mean, you're on this year journey that we've talked about. You get your driver's license. You mm-hmm. have the conversation with mom finally.
Yes.
What happened after the conversation with mom? You said it was hard on her.
It was hard. And we were still thinking about it differently. I thought she was disappointed. She was more mad at herself because she didn't know.
Didn't know how. Didn't know what to do.
Yeah. So it's like,
thought she should know this.
Yeah. She's like, how did I not know this about my daughter? So it's like, I'm thinking one way and she's thinking another and we're still not communicating. And it was probably the hardest year of my life. And we finally came to terms and I remember we sat down and it was the best conversation I've ever had with my mom. She's like, nobody should ever treat you differently for who you are. And she's like, everybody says, well, you chose this, but you didn't. I was like, Mom, how could I choose this? And I was like, I fought it for a long time, trust me, behind closed doors. And she told me, she's like, you could never, ever disappoint me. There are some keywords I remember. And I just remember coming out of it like, why couldn't we have had this conversation a year ago?
In due time.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer in that. And we were back to summertime. I'm still dating the same girl. And they were talking about going up to Bear Lake for the day. And Bear Lake holds a very special place in my heart. And I was like, well, I want to bring her with me. And my mom's like, I don't know how I feel about that. And I was like, you just told me you were fine. Now we're not fine again. And she's like, well, your Uncle Jesse and Aunt Misty are going. I said, okay. And she's like, are you ready to commit to that? And I said, Mom, I have been. I was like, celebrating my year anniversary. Where have you been? And she, I think she wanted to prepare me.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're now going to step into it and there's no going back. I said, I know. And she was like, I'll support you 110%. I said, okay, but I want to drive separate. And we did. I left that morning and I was like, this is the first time like I'm taking the initiative and I'm supporting who I am. And it only took a year to do that. But that first year, I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. Like, I didn't want to go anywhere in public with her. I didn't want our friends to see us together. It was like the first school dance and I know she wanted me to take her, but I'm like, I'm not ready for that yet. I was scared of what people were going to think. People were going to judge. I've already been the outcast. Like, it could only go downhill from there. And
all the rejection,
everything. All the judgment. Yeah. I don't do good with rejection. Anybody could tell you that. Like, it's not that I'm a people pleaser. That's the wrong way to say it, but it's like, I never want somebody to think differently of me, but I finally overcame that. It took a while, but back to the Bear Lake trip. We're getting in the car. We are going. I am happy as can be. I'm like, I'm finally taking the step. I'm really going to do it. I was like, I want to hold hands in public. Is that okay? And she's like, yeah, I've been waiting for this for a year. Where have you been? I was like, all right, let's do it. So we're driving up and we get there. I introduce her finally and officially to Mom, Dad, my uncle, and my aunt. And it was probably one of the funnest trips I've ever had.
Nice.
I think my mom saw a new side of me and to this day, she'll probably tell you the same. Like, I was the happiest I'd been in a while, grinning ear to ear. I mean, we rented a jet ski. We were having a blast. And I think it finally took us that moment to be in the same area together, letting me be myself for her to be like, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And
how did your aunt and your uncle?
Oh, they were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't care. They're like, all right, let's have fun. So no, they were fine. Everybody has always been fine. I think it's just how close my mom and I were that I was like, I do not want to disappoint you. Please don't that was the bridge I was never willing to cross. Like, my girlfriend at the time, her family was amazing. Like, they actually took me to Disneyland for my senior trip. It was amazing. There was still some rocky, difficult times to go through, but after that trip we were fine.
You build things huge in your mind that all these things are going to happen and none of them did.
So mm-hmm. I related back to, you know, your projection test and all the, you know, thoughts and feelings and the just mm-hmm. fear, and then when you just put your back into it and went for it, it really wasn't painful.
Yeah,
no it wasn't
and mm-hmm. it's kind of just putting yourself out there, but you've now embraced who you are.
Yep.
A layer of who you are. Okay. You've embraced a layer of who you are.
Yep.
And you move through high school.
Yep.
Right. And you stay in sports.
Yep.
You stay with soccer.
Sure did.
And that comes to an end.
Yeah. Senior year, graduated. We all went out after graduation, had a blast. Still me and my friends, you know. I actually went to college in Washington and pursued a little baby soccer scholarship that came to an end 6 months later. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be. I always said, I want to play college ball. I want to play college ball. But when I got there, I'm like, this is not as fun as it was.
Whole different level.
As it was with my close-knit friends. I'm like, I don't want to know new girls. Are you kidding me? But yeah, I left for college. Me and the girl I dated all throughout high school were technically still together. I left for high school and we never talked.
Yeah.
It was weird. I can't explain it. I remember we exchanged a couple texts when I got there, and it's almost as if, well, you're only a junior in high school. I've now graduated and going into college. Like, this is never going to work. Like, it's time to be adults. And it was hard. Still to this day, it's like, we never had that chance to like really say goodbye in a way.
Close.
I was like, dude, I just spent 3 years of my life with you and now it's just nothing. So it was hard to go through. I did go to college with one of my good friends. Her name's McKenna Spillett. Now Clay, she got married yesterday. So congratulations. But I was like, Ken, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm like, I'm away from my mom. I can't do this. First of all, I was like, I can't just cruise down the road and be like, hey mom, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
And so it was hard. I remember some late night phone calls and yeah, it was hard. Right before I left to go to college, I did what every teenage girl would do. I was put on Facebook. I said, hey, here's my Snapchat. Message me. I got a 12-hour drive ahead of me. And it was July and there was one person who commented and the only person I added from that, hey, add me on Snapchat. She's not my wife.
That's exciting.
Wow.
So yeah, that's my favorite story to tell everybody. I don't know how we were mutual friends on Facebook to even begin with because she lived in Texas. But yeah, I said, hey, drop your Snapchat below. I got a 12-hour drive ahead of me. She was the first person to comment and the only person I added out of, I think we looked back a couple years ago. I was like, I'm going to go pull it up. So I did. I scrolled all the way down. There was 50 something people who commented. I added the first and only added one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us about school and why that was so tough.
I've always been so close to my family. I hate change.
Mm-hmm.
I am a very like, once I get comfortable, leave me alone. Like I'm good. I have a schedule. I have a routine. Even if that's just being lazy, I have a routine to be lazy. But no, it was hard.
We're on the same schedule.
Yeah, it was hard. I remember calling my mom some nights and I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be away. And it wasn't like I was living in a dorm. I lived in an apartment with one roommate and we never saw eye to eye. I wanted the apartment to be clean. I cleaned every Sunday because my mom taught me how to do that. And she made me clean every Sunday. I just carried it on. It was fine. But yeah, we were cleaning and I'm like, hey, dude, do your dishes. Like, it's so simple. And not for everyone. Like my room was immaculate. Like I shower every day. Like I have a routine that I'm trying not to break being far away from home. And I just remember like it was a smaller town and I'm like, I'm just going to go to the store because I have nothing else to do. So I'd drive to the store. I would buy random stuff. I mean, it is true. College kids do live off of ramen noodles. But yeah, it was hard. I was out of my comfort zone. I didn't have any of my friends with me. I didn't have my mom, brother, sister, dad. Like I was out of that routine and seeing them do stuff. Like my mom, if you ever get to meet her, she takes pictures of everything and anything and we'll post it on Facebook. She is always the one, always the one to keep tabs on everything, every camping trip, every side-by-side ride, every birthday, holiday, you name it. That woman has pictures of it. And she would start posting pictures of them hanging out with their friends or they went to a car show or Halloween or whatever it may be. She still carves pumpkins and she's 52 years old.
I
love it about her because I do it every single year with her. But I was like, I hate being away from family. I said, this sucks. So yeah, I actually moved back home for a month in December. I told my coach, I said, hey, I'm done. Like I'm leaving at the semester. I'm sorry, but it's not all what it was cracked up to be. And I also was told, and I was kind of preventing this, is if you get one more concussion, you're done.
Yeah.
I never wanted to get told
you couldn't play anymore.
You're done. I wanted to be the one who told myself I was done. But yeah, it was, I did get another concussion and I was like, I'm not going to the doctor. I know what it feels like. We're done. But yeah, I went home for a month in December, and then yeah, we'll get into the rest after that.
So you, when, how old were you when you decided that law enforcement was something in your future?
I was young. It was either EMT or be a cop. And I remember in high school, I actually went through the EMT course, became a certified EMT my senior year. And I remember when I was doing my ride alongs, usually on some of the calls we go to, police show up.
Yeah.
And I remember going on this one call in Clinton, and a female canine handler showed up, and I was like, dude, cool. I want to be you.
That's
like,
cool.
I don't like, yes, I still want to save lives and I want to make the difference and I want to be that person, but it's like, I don't know if the medical route is for me. So, one of my soccer coaches was actually a correctional officer and had been for years. He's old, and I'll always tell him that. But he would come to soccer practice, strip gear, you know, he would come straight from work, and I'm like, dude, I want to wear a uniform. I just didn't know which one yet. So I went through the EMT course, got certified as an EMT, did the whole thing, was doing my internship with, Clinton Fire. And I was like, I like the cops better. Like, they're cooler. They get to carry a gun. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So yeah, this female cop showed up and she had a dog with her. And I was like,
that's it.
That was it. Mm. So yeah, I started as soon as you could. I turned 21. We're going a little bit into the future, but as soon as I turned 21, I applied to be a cop.
Nice.
So
that's an easy journey.
Being a cop?
The journey to be a cop.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
Because I have several friends that process sucked.
It was from start to finish. Like, now that I'm in it, it would be a lot easier to transfer agencies. But from the very beginning starting, I want to say it was a 3-month process.
Yeah.
From background, interviews, PT. I think I did like 3 or 4 interviews, actually. I did one-on-one, a panel again. And then your background takes forever. They dig into everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Even Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
They found that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, they had me list all of my social media accounts. Every house I've lived at since I was, I think they said 10 years back. And for me, that was my life.
Yeah.
I was like, last 10 years of houses is the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
And then they asked, like, current significant other, have you dated anybody since the age of 18? Like, they, I was like, do you want my social security number too? And they're like, yes.
As a matter of fact.
But yeah, it was a process, naming mom, dad, brother, sister. If they had spouses, I had to list them. I had to list my spouse's parents. I had to list every school I've attended.
But you guys were dating at this time.
When I applied to be a cop, I was married.
You were married already?
I was married.
Okay.
Yes.
So I want to capture that real quick before we move past it. And I don't want to drag everything out, but it's a big moment.
Yeah, it was.
So I thought it was after you started the journey to become a cop. It was before you got married.
No, it was after I got married.
Okay.
Like
okay.
2 months after I got married.
So you get married?
Yeah, I did get married.
Just a little moment in time.
Yeah. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can't help but smile ear to ear when I talk about her.
You found your other half.
I did. I don't know it. Like I was saying a little bit of the story. I don't know how we were friends on Facebook. I don't know how the world works. She was living in Texas. I was living in Washington. We just started talking. I'll give a brief summary of how we met. We just started talking, and a month and a half goes by, and I have like a week off of soccer. It's our bye week. And I was like, hey, what would you do if I booked a ticket to
Texas?
To Texas. And she's like, I guess I'd pick you up at the airport. I said, oh, how nice of you. We weren't officially dating yet. And I was like, cool. Like, I booked it like within 10 minutes. And I don't think she was expecting that. And I sent her my confirmation. I said, can you pick me up? And at this point, we were just talking, not dating. I don't even think we had said like the I love you yet. But we FaceTimed every day. With the time difference, it was 3 hours. She was already an adult, I like to say that. So she had a full-time job. She had already been through a little bit of life. She's 7.5 years older than I am. So I was like, you're an adult, but I want to come meet you. So I did. I flew out to Texas August 25th, 2018. And we, that is if we had known each other for years.
Yeah.
I can't describe the connection we had. I had to fight for it. And I will always remind her of this. Just when we started out talking, like before the flight, before everything, it was good morning. And it'd be like 5 o'clock at night. She said, sorry, I've been busy all day. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm like, where have you been all day? I text you at 8 o'clock this morning.
That's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
more common than you think.
I know it is, but I was like, talk to me. Like, why do you not want to talk to me? And I still tell her to this day. I'm like, dude, I had a fight.
Yeah.
For your attention. You know that, right? And yeah, she was amazing. I booked a flight to Texas for 48 hours is all I got. I landed, I did a red eye flight on a Friday. I came home Sunday night, and it's just, we had known each other for
mom
years.
Mom and dad didn't know about it.
Yeah.
No, I did tell my mom.
You
actually.
Did?
Oh, yeah. You did.
Yeah. I told her, I said, hey, I'm talking to this girl who lives in, Dallas, Texas. And she's like, what do you mean? Is she real?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, dude, she's a catfish. Cause I'd show them pictures of her. And they're like, dude, she's not real. I hope you know that. Like, I remember my friend saying, dude, she's not real.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I FaceTime her.
You're like, I see her in live.
It's real.
Okay.
I did. I was like, mom, hey, I'm going to go to Dallas. Like, that's like, I felt weird. It's like, I was kind of asking for permission, but I'm like, I'm in Washington. You can't tell me no. So I did. I flew to Texas. She picked me up. I stayed with her at her house and met some of her friends. We went out. Yeah, it's like we have known each other. So September rolled around. I flew home. Well, not home, but to Washington. September rolled around and my brother was getting married. I said, how do you feel about meeting the entire family at once? So yeah, she did. She flew to Salt Lake. I had flew home for, I think I was there a day before her. She flew in. I went and picked her up by the airport by myself. I said, nobody is going with me to go get her from the airport. And I went and picked her up and we're driving home to my house. And I'm like, dude, you're going to meet everybody in 24 hours. How do you feel about that? And, she comes from the complete opposite world of me, like childhood and everything. She didn't really have a relationship with her, biological father. Her mom was there, but wasn't there. She pretty much raised her younger brother due to lack of guardianship. And she did not know what she's about to step into. I was like, dude, me and my mom go to the grocery store for
real
fun.
Real live organic.
Yeah. Like organic
family,
family. Yeah. Like, yes, we're still dysfunctional, but that's every family. But it's like, she did not know what she was walking into. So wedding rolls around. She starts meeting everybody. We had a little barbecue the night before with like half of the wedding audience. And I said, mom, dad, brother, sister, the whole thing. And next day I woke up and I was like, oh, you're still here. That's good. This is good. You didn't go to the airport. But yeah, September, brother's wedding, October. So we went month to month to month before we moved in. October, she actually flew to Washington, stayed a week with me, watched two of my games. I flew to Dallas for November and surprised her for Thanksgiving. Earlier, she knew I was coming, but I flew in a couple days earlier, had her best friend pick me up.
And who asked who?
This is when we got engaged.
Yeah.
She asked me.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So yeah, 4 months later, bam, engaged. And I was like, I'm 18.
What did mom and dad say?
I remember I FaceTimed my mom. I don't remember a lot of the conversation that was
she does a good 7 years ago.
Yes.
So, I know.
It's like
good.
I put all that in.
Yes.
I don't remember everything down to the detail, except for I put that stuff in a filing cabinet. Sure, Mark, don't touch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just remember like we started dating in August. We made it official. Not boyfriend, girlfriend. Wow. Sorry, babe. We were girlfriends and then November rolled around and we went to this beautiful, botanical garden in Dallas. And I just remember like, you're being weird, but I was like, nah, it's too soon. She's not going to ask me to marry her. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
we've been dating for 4 months. Yeah. It's November. So I actually just turned 19, but we started dating when I was 18. I was like, dude, I'm a kid. I was like, and you're old. But not really.
Yeah. Now you feel the same way now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because it's been that do you feel old now?
Yeah, I am actually my age now. Yeah. Like I am her now.
That's what I mean.
Because when we met, she was 25, I was 18.
Yeah, she was not old.
No, she wasn't. I just like to make fun of her for it. But yeah, she got down on one knee and she's like, will you marry me in front of all of her friends? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm not going to tell you no. And she's like, well, did you tell me yes because you left me? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But I was like, you put me on the spot, dude. But no, she is honestly, she's amazing. Got engaged. We waited 2 years to get married. I was like, can we finish dating for a minute? But everyone's like, you guys did not get engaged in 4 months. I said, yeah, we did. did you not remember that? Cause I do. And everybody's like, dude, you're rushing it. Do you actually know her? And I was like, well, we're about to find out cause I'm moving to Texas. So I move home from school. I quit everything, drop out of school. I'm home for a month. She booked a one-way ticket to Utah for Christmas. We left Christmas morning to drive to Dallas. I was moving. I was like, let's do it.
Load it up and on your way.
I loaded up in my little four-door sedan. And I was like, if it doesn't fit in my car, I'm not taking it. So I packed clothes. That's all I care about. And I get there and real life really started. I was like, I'm now far away from my mom. I'm living in an apartment with my fiance. Like, where did 6 months go? Because I graduated 6 months ago and graduated high school. And I was like, well, life happens fast.
Yeah.
And I moved in and everything was great. I got a job in Dallas and she was pretty much working on her career. I like to say, she worked for Keurig Dr. Pepper. She was a manager of some sort. I'll get her job title wrong if I try to say it.
Don't say it.
But it was just like, okay, we're starting life, dude. Like we're doing this. And it got to a point where I think she realized I couldn't be away from my family. Like, it's not like I'm choosing one or the other.
It was hard.
But there were difficult conversations. She didn't quite understand it because she didn't have that relationship with her family that I had. And that was probably our biggest hurdle to get over. And I'm like, I want to move back home. Do you want to come with me? And she did. We moved to Utah. We bought our first little house. It was really hard when she moved here. It was harder than when we lived in Texas. And I was like, this was supposed to get easier, not harder.
Did she have to give up the career?
She got a new one. Yeah. She actually applied for a job here first. She was the breadwinner of our small little family at the moment. So I was like, well, we can really go if you still make as much money as you did in Dallas. So she got a job here, got her start date and everything. We moved here. She started working. We lived with my mom and dad for about 6 months until we bought our first house. And I think that was really hard for her because she realized my mom will call me on her way home from work at 19 years old and ask me if I want to go to the grocery store with her.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, Aubrey, she's like, why are you going to the store with your mom?
I was like, that's what we do.
I don't know.
That's like a relationship.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, now it's funny. 7 years later, my mom will call her to go to the store. I was like, yes, you get it now.
She just wants to tag along.
Yeah. But that's how my mom's always been. And she didn't have the family that I had growing up. So she's like, how can you be this close with family? Because she has never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't deep dive into a bunch of it that, but it was hard for her. She didn't know really what to do, what to say. It caused a little bit of tension, but she's a trooper.
But you worked through it.
Yeah, we did. We've been together for 7, married for 5 in October.
And you get married.
Yep. Got married in October, 2020.
And then you decide you're going to be a law enforcement officer.
Yes.
So you go through that gamut.
Yep. Went through all that background, the whole whole ordeal.
And then the party begins.
Yes.
After going through the gamut.
Yes.
Yeah. You think it's good. No, it's really still not.
No. Yeah. I became a cop in February, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. Yes. February, 2021 is where I signed on with the Weber County Sheriff's Office.
And we're still in COVID.
Yep. We were still in COVID.
So the whole process you were going through was during that time frame. There's just a lot of unknowns and a lot of new things. And there's still new ways they're doing it, right? It's not the same. It was always, it's like, well, we had to do this different now and you've got to do that different now.
Yeah.
But you get your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that job has led you where? Where are you at today?
Right now.
Yeah. What is life today?
It's awesome. Right now. So I am a school resource officer. I did my first year as a school resource officer at Rocky Mountain Junior High. So now it's summer. So I'm actually on the boats at Pineview all summer.
Oh, wow.
I hate it. I absolutely
crazy people up there.
Everyone's like, oh, it's fun being on a boat. I said, yeah, but if you get a play, I'm not playing, I'm working.
Yeah.
So being in full gear, I was like, dude, it's hot. I was like, being in the sun for 12 hours it's a lot. Being on water, I get motion sickness, found that out. and everyone's like, but you've been on a cruise ship. I said, that boat's a lot bigger.
Yeah, it doesn't move like that.
I was like, no. I was like, I don't really, like, I've never been on a boat for fun. Like, I have been every once in a while, but it's not like I know, like, I don't own a personal boat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, I'm in the sun 12 hours
a day.
How much
do you love being a school resource officer?
I was semi-voluntold into that position. I'm like, I don't do good with kids. I said, I cuss like a sailor. I don't know how to handle juveniles. I was like, you can't arrest them.
I hear like I'm an old soul.
What are we going to do with these kids? I was like, this isn't my generation. I said, all they care about is social media. And I was like, I'm going to fight one of these kids. But you figured
it out.
But yeah, I figured it out. It was week one. I met the head secretary and she heard the way I talk and it's a lot. And I cuss like a sailor. And she looked at me like, you are this 5 foot tall woman and you talk like that. And I was like, at that point I was wearing a long sleeve shirt and I was like,
and there's some surprise.
Yeah. I was like,
what have you learned being a school resource officer?
It is honestly one of the funnest and most rewarding things I've ever done. Yeah. I never would have thought about that. The connections you make with kids when they're not around their parents and they're being them true selves, because I know for dang sure some of these kids act different at home than they do at school.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, hey, like you're going to have one or two kids that you get pretty close to. Just make sure you're like, keep your boundaries. And I said, I'm not going to be close to any of these kids. And it was like August, September. I was like, first month of school. I was like, okay, I can do this. They're not that bad. Some of them were fun. Like I made jokes with some of the cheerleaders because one of them I actually met before I knew I was going to be an SRO at Rocky, because a lady called in saying, hey, this kid almost just hit me with her golf cart. She's on her way to cheer practice. I'm like, no way.
Go meet her.
No way. So I go out to Rocky and there's a golf cart parked out front. So I walk into the cheerleaders and I said, who drove their golf cart to practice? And this girl in the back raises her hand. I'll keep her name not out because she's under the age, but I didn't remember her name after she told me that. So every time I saw her, I called her golf cart.
Yeah.
I said, hey, golf cart, what's up? Or like, how are you doing? Or whatever. And she was awesome. And then I ended up doing the Christmas dance with the cheerleaders and just tried making it the funnest I could. And
you did make it the funnest you could.
Yes. The relationships I made with even like the office staff to this day, like I call them mom because they're all old enough to be my mom. But I hang out more with these 50-year-old women than I do my actual friends.
Yeah.
I was actually supposed
old
to go to
soul again.
Yeah. I was actually supposed to go to Lake Tahoe with them this week, but stuff came up and it happened, but everything.
And I only say that because I'm not saying her dad and mom are 50. I'm not throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that close.
Yes. But yeah, close. Everyone's like, who are you hanging out with? And I said, Quincy, Sarah, and Julie, what do you mean? And they're like the people who work at Rocky. I said, yeah,
that's what we do.
Like probably the principal. I'm as old as her oldest son. We've graduated the same year and everything. And she's like, it's hard to not look at you like you're my kid.
Yeah.
And I said, that's okay. I said, just don't treat me like your kid and we'll be fine.
That's the wonderful part. I mean, you're giving so much and you're doing it because it's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can figure out how to do that job and still make a difference. And that's what I mean. It's not like just going through the motion. It's really connected. It's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, that's why you're there.
Yeah.
They say, hey, don't get too close because it's hard.
It is hard.
You know, you've got a job to do, so you don't want to get in the way of the job you have to do, but the job can be so fun and so rewarding when you have those relationships and know who you're serving.
Yeah. There were
not what you're serving.
I probably got pretty close with a handful of them, one in particular. And I was just like, I kind of miss that kid. I was like, it's now summer and I'm like,
yep.
Where's the little blonde running into my office that I'm trying to kick out of my office?
That's my niece.
And yes, it is his niece, come to find out. But I didn't really pay attention to her last name until it came up. She's like, my dad knows your dad. And I was like, what do you mean your dad knows my dad? So does my uncle. I think my uncle knows your dad more. Yeah. I was like, who's your uncle?
So I got to interrupt here because I want to make sure we ask this question.
This is an important question.
This is a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
5 years from now.
Okay.
Looking forward, where are you? What are you doing? And what's happening in your life?
In 5 years, I'll be 30. First thing that comes to mind is I want to be a mom. Mm. That one was good. Just hearing those words come out of my mouth is something I didn't really see. Obviously being married to a woman that's hard to achieve unless you want to pay for it. And I'll say that day in and day out, it's about $20K to start a family being married to a woman. And knowing the childhood I came from, knowing the childhood my wife came from, there's nothing more I want in life than to see my wife become a mom.
Aww.
Like everyone would be like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, dude, no, really. Like we start crying when we talk about having a baby. And I was like, I would give everything I had to see my wife become a mom. Mm. And it's like the love she gives and the loves her heart is so big. Like I make fun of her because she'll see an older person. And by older, I mean like about 70s to 80s.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. That's good. What I was hoping. See,
we're making a cushion here. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
But no, there's this gentleman that works at Walmart in Clinton. His name is Mark. And my wife saw him one day and he was being bullied by these younger kids because they were trying to return a video game. And this gentleman was like, hey, it's been opened. We can't do that. And these kids were just being rude to him. He had hearing aids and everything. And I look at my wife and she's crying. I said, dude, what's wrong? And she's like, he's such a nice guy. And I'm like, babe, you're fine. Like, what are you doing? And she, just the heart she has, like she'll see an older gentleman walking with a cane to buy flowers and she starts crying. And I'm like, dude, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like we were watching a TV show the other day and it was a grandma and talking to her daughter, mother talking to her daughter, but they were older and just telling her how much she loves her. And my wife starts crying again. And I'm like, why are we crying?
Yeah.
But just to sum it up, like she has the biggest heart and it's like in 5 years, I want her to be a mom and I want to do it with her. There's nobody else I've wanted to share a family with. Like I wake up, it's her. I go to bed, it's her. And it's, we started looking into the process. And everyone would say we're the bougies. And I was like, we're not rich. But they're like, no, you guys are bougie. And I was like, okay. Well, I came to find out the car seat I want, just the car seat alone, yes, is $500.
Wow.
And my wife, Aubrey, she's like, we're going to need two of those.
I said, why Mesa would we get along?
I know.
Yeah.
Yes. It is the Nuna car seat. And I like it because it has the tan leather handle.
Those.
And they're like, the tan leather handle. I said, yes, that's what I want.
Yeah. Sorry. Anything and else?
No, that's what
that's
I want it for.
That's the 5 years. No, that's your 5 year though.
Oh, 5 years. No. Hopefully I'll be into some role of leadership.
Cause you're working on what right now in school?
I'm getting my bachelor's degree in criminal justice.
Yeah. So nice. You have completed that.
Yep. I will complete that fall of 2026. I'll have my bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
So that will help with the promotional process. So I want to be a mom. I will have graduated with my bachelor's degree, which I thought was never going to be a thing. My wife will have her master's degree. And hopefully I'll be somewhat of a supervisor in the police world.
Nice.
And just go
and have
there.
A canine.
Yes.
Yes. I do. I do want a dog. I've always wanted a dog. I put in for it last time, but actually since I was an SRO, they're like, hey, it would be harder to pull you out of schools than to pull somebody from patrol. So I got passed up
in due time.
I was like, all right, maybe it wasn't meant to be, but yeah, canine handler, a mom and a supervisor would probably be like my biggest top three.
Love it. Any final words you want to say?
No, just a deep dive. I mean, the biggest thing is take pride in what you do. And I say that very gracefully is you are on this planet for a reason. How and what are you going to do with it?
Amen.
For me, it's being a woman in law enforcement is probably one of the hardest things I've had to do. And it's like, how is it working in a man's career? I said, I'm making a man's career better.
Yeah.
And don't doubt yourself. Don't ever think differently of yourself. If you want something, do it because you can. What's stopping you? Really, there's not a cement wall in front of you. You are stopping yourself. If you're like, oh, I could never obtain a bachelor's degree. I could never get that job. Did you try?
Have you ever seen Gary Vee? You know who Gary Vee is?
Nope.
Gary Vaynerchuk. So look up Gary Vee because there was a clip the other day that I saw with him, and he said, there are no winners. There are no losers.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, just go for it. I mean, if you put your mind to something, you can do it. You just have to believe in yourself. And knowing that now is you want the promotion, you want that job, you want this, you want that, you want to travel the world. Well, I can't do it, or I would never be able to.
JFD.
Amen.
Try.
No, do.
Do.
Do. Oh, just do, do it. Do.
Just focus and do it. Just
yes.
But it's like, do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.